Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Always good.
In studio. As we like to say.
Yes, in our real radio studio.
Yes. With our engineer here with us.
With real microphones.
Yeah.
Soundforge. Oh, no.
Everything's real.
Yeah, everything's real.
We can touch it. We can see it. We can feel it.
We can come to you through the air.
Yes.
Wherever you are. So the two of you that are listening, we're happy to be coming through the air.
I think we're up to three.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to leave anybody out. But see, the Lord said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we should rejoice.
I don't think our ratings are particularly high, but yeah. Oh well.
Well, based on the cards and letters we get, I would say it's probably.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, once in a while I get an email and once in a while I get a text or once in a while somebody from Africa writes and says, heard your show. But anyway, so here we are. I think we're going to do a lesson from Luke's gospel today.
Kind of goes along from what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
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 Kind of flows into it.
Yeah, kind of flows into it. And it's actually, I think the Lord's called us to kind of do a long series of things that have to do with discipline and discipleship and sin and repentance and the problems that are going on in the church now and kind of get back to the basics, so to speak, because I think we've certainly both sensed, and a lot of people now are sensing the fact that there's really a remnant that's left now because everybody thinks like, they become believers, their life should be infinitely better than it was before. And of course it is spiritually, but now it's been taken over to physically as well. And that you should never have any problems and that all your diseases should be healed and, you know, the health and wealth aspects of it.
Yeah.
And there is health and wealth, and I shouldn't make fun of it that way, but you know, God heals people at his will. And as if you think about it, you don't know anybody who was born in 1800 that's walking around, or even 1900 anymore.
No.
Because everybody's going to die at some point.
At some point.
And we've both seen the Lord intervene. Mm-hmm. You've seen it very personally. I've seen it very personally. And I'm sure most of you listening have seen the Lord intervene with a physical healing.
You know, as you say that, I've seen the Lord intervene with a physical healing and with a spiritual healing.
Yes.
And then I've also seen somebody not be healed.
Yes. Oh,
when,
yes.
As you know, we're praying for them. So you're dealing with a divine mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That we will not fully understand here on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so people respond to it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And our faith can be shaken or our faith can be fortified.
Yes.
You know, and it could be a difficult thing. Sometimes I find myself in the midst of when I'm struggling with something, the last question that I usually ask or that I usually come, the place that I come to and I ask the Lord is, Lord, what are you trying to teach me here?
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually when it's shown, oh, okay, that's why this is going on.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, sometimes it takes me a long time to get to that point.
Yeah, yes. That's been happening a lot to me lately. And it always involves some kind of pruning.
Yeah. And so when I ask the question, I think, oh, gosh, why didn't I ask that question earlier?
But I think, you know, we've been talking about the Christian walk.
Yeah.
Or run, or marathon run.
Sprint.
Sprint, not the 100-yard dash, but it's a long journey. You know, it's kind of like the people had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years,
yeah,
heading toward the promised land.
God, can you imagine that nowadays?
Yeah. We're one day trying to get there in 4 minutes. But, you know, we're wandering, our Christian walk, we're wandering in a wilderness heading toward the ultimate promised land.
Exactly.
But you zigzag over here and you zigzag over there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to some place there's no water. You get to some place where there's fiery serpents. You get some place where there's some other problem.
Yeah.
And we know that we're going to ultimately come through all this, but mm-hmm. the attitude now is not generally one of humility and discipleship. It's, hey, here I am, and what are you going to do for me today?
Exactly. I was just thinking that. What are you going to do for
me? Like last week, you got me a Mercedes. Now this week, what am I going to get?
Yeah.
And so that leads us to Luke 17.
It does.
Yes.
It does.
Dr. Luke, why don't we start with verses 7 through 10?
Sure.
Let's talk about that a little bit, and then I'm sure the music will start.
Right after. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here immediately and take your place at table? Would he not rather say to him, prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful that the servant, or is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all that you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.
Mm. Yeah, see, now you have people coming to the cross, and sometimes starting with very good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people coming to the cross saying, well, I'm here. You should be happy that I'm here. So, you know, I'm not like all these other schmucks that are here. I'm pretty awesome and I'm here.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can let me know once in a while what you want me to do, but here's what I think I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And the attitude is, I'm going to live my life. Well, I'm a believer now, so I'm all set. So I'm just going to live my life, and I'm going to get up in the morning, and I'm going to say, today, I'm going to really achieve stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm going to have that power, and you're going to give me more power, and by the end of the day, I'm going to achieve that stuff. Well, this paints a pretty dramatic contrast with that, because we're servants. You know, disciple comes from the same root word as discipline. We're servants. And when the servant comes in from the field, the master doesn't say, oh, servant, you're so awesome. Here, let me make you some dinner.
Yeah.
No, he sits down and says, okay, servant, I know you've been working all day, but now make me some dinner. And then after I eat, you can eat.
Yeah.
And we are servants. We are given, we have a mission. We're given work to do that's not of our choosing. We're not slaves. You know, Paul calls himself a doulos, which is not quite a slave, but a little bit less than a paid servant, kind of like an indentured servant. But he admits that he's a doulos. He's totally committed to serving the Lord, and he'll do what the Lord wants him to do. And he and the other evangelists and many of the saints of history we can talk about are great examples of that.
Yeah.
You know, we're not always like that,
mm-hmm.
but we're all servants. So if you're called to go someplace and do some particular task, then you don't come back to your house and go, well, Lord, I did the task. So pretty cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now what do I get? Hey,
yeah.
I guess a pretty good thing, right?
Yeah.
I did the thing. You know, I didn't have to go, but I went. So, no, he says, you're a servant.
Where's my reward?
Where's my reward? I want it now.
You know, if you look at our culture, the shifts in our culture over the last, let's say, 30 years, and I'm going to use an example of sports as an example of this. When people were coming in to play professional sports, they were given a contract. And they were given, you know, a pretty good sized contract.
Yeah, I'd say.
But now, I mean, look, let's think 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, as time has gone on, you got signing bonuses, mm-hmm. you got these big deals, big mm-hmm. endorsements, lucrative contracts, mm-hmm. and they haven't won a game yet.
Yeah. That's right.
And part of that is because they, you know, there's injuries in sports and they want to be taken care of. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But the part of it is you earn your way mm-hmm. along the way, and then you're rewarded for your performance along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And in our culture today, and this is not just in sports, but in, you know, I think the general mindset is, I want my reward now. I'm the prodigal son. I want my inheritance. I want it now. Mm-hmm. And I'll do what I please with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to do that mm-hmm. because it's my right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm entitled to it. And we've lost the whole concept of working as just working diligently and earning our way where we're rewarded for something after we've done something of some value. Now, spiritually, it's a little, I mean, it's different because I'm getting that example because if you look at our culture, there's a whole thing of a whole mindset of, I want my reward and I want it up front. I want it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I deserve that.
There's no delayed gratification. I want it right now.
Right. You haven't won a championship. You haven't won. You may have won a championship in high school or college, but you mm-hmm. haven't won at the professional level. So there's a big difference there.
Mm-hmm.
But spiritually, we can find that attitude similarly in the church. Okay, Lord. I gave my life to you. Now what do I get? You know, Jesus Christ, and I use the example of Jesus Christ died and bled for our sins. And whenever somebody, you know, tries to elevate themselves, you have to ask the question, well, whose sins have you shed blood for? I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't shed any blood for anybody's sins. I don't have any room to boast.
Yes. And considering what you actually are in the face of that,
yeah,
you should keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Eternally grateful
yeah.
that Jesus Christ went through this horrific, I mean horrific death, that I can have eternal life with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That I don't deserve.
That I don't deserve, but because he loves me to that degree, he was willing to do that. That's the ultimate sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's love.
Yes.
And, you know, when we as people don't acknowledge our sin or we're too proud to acknowledge our sin, then God can't transform our hearts or mold us mm-hmm. into the image and likeness of his son.
Right.
And we are that servant that comes in and says, time for me to be served by the master.
Yeah, I did some work.
I did some
you
work.
You should be happy I did it.
And wasn't that just grand? Yeah.
Yeah. And what he's saying there is when you're in his service, when he gives you a mission to do, you have to do it with humility. You have to do it with mm-hmm. sort of steadfast work and not think that you're owed something for it.
Yeah.
He will reward you as he's going to reward you. And he will reward you ultimately for something, because I think most Christians would agree there's different levels of reward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not for you to work out.
Well, it's like when the work day was done and the wages were given out and people started grumbling because yes. they worked all day.
Yeah.
And the person that worked started at 5 o'clock in the evening got the same pay.
Right. And you're doing the work for his sake. For his honor, for his glory,
mm-hmm.
you're not doing it for you to be glorified.
Right.
You're not doing it for you to be honored.
Right.
So if you go someplace and do an awesome worship service, you don't get to the microphone and say, was that the most awesome music you guys have heard ever in this church?
Was I not supposed to do that?
No, you're
definitely joking. Was that wrong?
See,
though?
if you did that, then you're not a servant.
Right.
You're just like, hey, I did the music and wasn't that awesome? You know, you go and you do a teaching, you do something, you go on a mission trip. You go, hey, I went on the mission trip. Oh, you know, went to Guatemala for a week. Now, what am I going to get for that?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like I say, it's not for you to make up the reward. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to serve in a humble way because we're, I don't know what term to use from what you mentioned about his suffering. We're the ones that are in debt to him, but that's not a good description. We're the ones that are so overwhelmingly rewarded in a way that we don't deserve that while we're here, we should be willing to do pretty much whatever he wants us to do.
Yeah.
An attitude of humility.
We're a bondservant.
Yes. And I don't think, I don't think the apostles themselves went around going, we're the apostles, you know. Like these other guys, you know, they're preaching and stuff too, but we're the apostles. So, let me tell you, we'll come, but here's how much money we want. And we want to make all the arrangements and, we want a good hotel room and we want to get, no, they just served because they had been with him. They had heard this passage, of course. And it says, hey, we're just happy to be included in the kingdom.
Well, if you look at what we talked about last week in Galatians, the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit, look at how they're, you know, if you look at the disciples, the apostles Jesus chose a few times before they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they would ask those questions. Lord, can we sit one at your right and one at your left?
Mm-hmm.
And they had that conversation about who was the greatest of them.
Yeah.
And then Jesus hears that conversation going on. So before the spirit, they are guided by the flesh to some degree, mm-hmm. even though they're walking with Jesus.
Yes.
But after Pentecost and after being filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't hear that anymore.
Yeah.
You don't hear that.
And that's interesting, the brothers James and John. I mean, this is how...
Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder. You don't know what your life is going to be. James, the greater, the major, whatever he's called, big-time James, Zebedee's son, John's brother. He's killed right off the bat. Acts chapter 12, he's killed by the sword.
Yeah.
Boom. You don't get any details. His brother John lives to be like 90 years old, gets exiled, writes the Revelation, you know, dies like 60 years after all this, 70 years after all this.
Yeah.
The two brothers, they both served, but... I mean, they're reunited in heaven when John goes too,
mm-hmm.
but neither of them knew what the plan for them was going to be.
And when they asked for that, Jesus says, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism? Oh, yes. Yes, we can. Yeah. So, okay.
Then you will. Yes.
But for me to give you the right or left seat is not mine to give.
Yeah.
Like, oops.
Yeah. And so our work is something of submission.
Yeah, exactly.
And humility.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be happy that we're called to the work. And regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you may get a word to go over and get that guy a sandwich and a cup of coffee. And you say, well, okay, I'll go get him a sandwich and a cup of coffee. I don't know what good that's going to do, but I think I'm supposed to do this. Mm-hmm. And you go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, why should I get that guy a sandwich and a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
I don't feel like doing that. Okay, so you haven't done it.
Yeah.
But as a doulos, as a bondservant, in humility, you're going to do, like he talks about, you know, they've been plowing and they've been working in the field. Then they come back in and make dinner for the master.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of resting. You know, we have to keep occupied. You know, Jesus said, occupy till I come. We have to be working for him the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people say there's no retirement mentioned in the Bible, which is true, but people didn't live as long either.
That's true.
But it's, you don't say like, well, I did the mission trip to Guatemala for a week, so now for the next year, I don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can just sit home and watch TV.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about how the disciples are tired. They've been fishing all night. They haven't caught a thing. And Jesus says, cast your nets over to the side. Over to this side. And what do they say? Lord, we haven't caught anything all night, but at your command, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. And they catch and their catch is so numerous that the nets almost tear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all at the hand of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times you and I have talked about this, you know, we're tired, we're a little bit exhausted, and we're fatigued, and we get the sense the Lord's asking us to go and do something. And we're like, oh, but when we go and do it, wow, is it fruitful?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the fruitfulness. It's not because I did anything great.
Mm-hmm.
It's just God asked me.
Mm-hmm.
And you start, you know, you learn from that, okay, that's the voice of the Lord prompting me to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go. I can still decide to gratify the flesh and go, I'm just going to go to sleep because I'm really tired. But if I choose to serve the Lord, it's for His glory, and the opportunity
mm-hmm.
is there, you know, because he uses us. The amazing thing is that God uses us as instruments of His grace.
Yes, exactly.
As profound as that is, you know, He just uses us in that way because He chooses to.
Exactly. And we should be honored to be called.
And we're not to boast in that.
Right. And we should be honored that we're involved in it to begin with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I always like that passage in Romans that says, you know, while we were still sinners, He died. While we were His enemies, He died for us.
Yeah.
You know, at one time, we were His enemies.
Yeah, there's a song called Reckless Love where the words are, you know, while I was still your foe, you fought for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so when you were His enemy, and why were you, I mean, enemy's a harsh word, but you were an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You decided you're not going to follow God's law. You don't want anything to do with this. You're going to do whatever you want to do. You're going to live your life the way you want to live it. Nobody's going to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're His enemy. But while you're His enemy, died for you. So then you become His friend, and you look back at when you were an enemy and say, wow, He died for me, and I was an enemy.
Yeah.
Now here I am, I want to be His friend. So you need to keep your mind focused. It's a mental and a physical thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Physically, we get tired.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, we say, well, I don't feel like reading all of this now.
Right.
Or physically, we say, I don't feel like I really want to go to that place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think He wants me to go. You know, I'd rather not go. I'd rather go some nicer place. But you have to be physically and emotionally involved spiritually mm-hmm. into your emotion so then you know what you're supposed to be doing. And you're always supposed to be ready for the next order, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
the next instruction, the next mission. Because you don't know. You may have one mission in your whole life or two or five, or you might have something almost every day.
Yeah.
And you have to be open to that and not to the point of, hey, you know, like, you know, we had slavery in our country, and this is not to compare the Lord's work with slavery, but, you know, a slave wouldn't have said to a master, hey, you know what? I've been working like crazy the last couple of days, so I'm taking today off.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would, you know, the guy would have got whipped.
Yeah.
I mean, it's disgusting, but, you know, when you're a servant, you got to do what your master says.
Mm-hmm.
You will be rewarded. It's not a tyranny.
Right.
Plus, you serve because you want to serve.
Yeah.
You're free to say, forget it. I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're free to live like you were living before because he never interferes with your free will.
You know, as you brought up that issue of slavery, the difference is God says, I'm going to give you free will to choose.
Yes.
The slave didn't have that choice.
That's right.
That is true slavery.
Yeah.
So when God, you know, when somebody says, well, if God, you know, somebody made a comment, I was reading something where they said, well, you know, if God gives you free will, then how could He plan out your life for you? That's, you know, it's bogus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God gives you free will that you can choose to love Him from your own heart.
Yes.
That you come to a place where you love the one who loved you first mm-hmm. with the same gratitude and the same love that He loved you with first.
Yeah.
Because without that, it's not love at all. It's coercion.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you've probably seen stories, seen in movies, somebody saves somebody's life, literally physical life, and the person says, oh, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You saved my life.
Yeah.
Well, He saved our life to a way bigger degree than our physical
life.
Exactly. So we should be willing to do whatever He wants us to do. Uh-oh. I hear music already. I love Paul Wilbur, but the music comes too fast.
I know.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would be willing to accept the love of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born again into the freedom and kingdom of God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.